Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Kingdom People. In the light of the commission we have been given by God, the Apostle Paul calls us to remember who we are, people saved by grace and made new in Christ for a purpose. We are invited to live lives that reflect Him, walking in love, unity, and obedience in all we do. To watch any of our previous messages or learn more about what is happening at Valley Brook, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc. Enjoy!
Well, again, welcome to Valley Brook. Whether you're here in the room, whether you're joining us online, we're glad you're here. We're in the middle of this series called Kingdom People. We've been talking about our vision as a church, as the body of Christ, to be kingdom people. So over the past weeks, we have looked at who we are as kingdom people. We have looked at what we do as kingdom people, and we have looked at why we do what we do as kingdom people. And today, we're going to look at where are we headed? Where are we headed as kingdom people? Because you see, as kingdom people, we're followers of Jesus. And when Jesus began his ministry, when he came to earth and he started that ministry, this is what he said: the kingdom of God is near, repent of your sins and believe the good news. So he said, believe the good news, you know, turn back to God, repent of your sins. And in that statement, Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is breaking out here on earth. Now, theologians say it's the now and not yet kingdom, because Jesus said it is here now, and yet we know it's not fully here, but it will be someday. And so he was giving his followers then and every generation since an invitation to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be on mission with him, to share the good news that God loves all people. He wants them to return, to turn away from their sins, and he wants to be in a fellowship relationship with them. And at Valley Brook, we're all about that. We are kingdom-oriented, we're kingdom people, and we want to help everybody join Jesus in his mission. So this morning, I'm going to show you a picture of a house you may recognize on the screen. So my guess is if you've ever traveled from, you're laughing because you have seen this house, because this house has sort of looked like that for over 10 years. When you come Route 20 West into Granby, you travel by this house in East Granby, and it's been in one state of construction or another since 2015. And by the way, it's for sale. For only $700,000, you can buy this completely unfinished 3,000 square foot log home, four bedrooms, three bathrooms, and a three-car garage. You can look it up on any real estate website. It's there right now, all right? So if you're like me, when you drive by an unfinished house like that, or for that matter, you know, any project that doesn't seem like it's complete, you probably wonder, what happened? What happened? Why isn't it finished? Why haven't they completed it? Did they not estimate the cost of the project correctly? Did they run out of money? Did a crisis avert their attention so the project was postponed? Did they just have too much going on in their lives? Or was it none of those things? Was it just a lack of commitment to finish the project? I don't know about that house, okay? So I am not passing any kind of judgment there. But here's the deal. When you read the teachings of Jesus, he tells us what it means to be committed to following him. In the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll read these words of Jesus: if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? So Jesus is saying the commitment is you give up your own way, you take up your cross to follow me. Being a follower of Jesus means denying our own wills and our own desires to follow Jesus and to follow him as he follows the will of God. And honestly, I believe that true worth in this life comes from selflessly serving our Lord and our Savior. Now, I understand this feels challenging, all right? But Jesus said other things about being committed to Him that will actually make you feel more challenged. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said these things. A large crowd was following Him, and He turned around to them, and this is what He said. If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started the building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or, what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could beat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Those are challenging verses. So let's unpack them. First of all, notice that Jesus is speaking to the crowd that is tagging along around him and his chosen disciples. And these are people who are not yet committed followers of Jesus. You could say they're fans. Our worship director, Pat Fitzgerald, is a huge follower of the New York Knicks. And he's excited back there right now, yeah. And I told him, well, I'll jump on board, but I'll just be a fair weather fan because it's just for this season. I'm going to be their fan. And so that's what you see, you know, the difference between a follower and a fan, all right? And so, you know, all of these people are fans following Jesus. They're like paparazzi, you know, they're there to see what they can see. Maybe Jesus is going to do another miracle. Maybe Jesus is going to get in the face of the Pharisees and challenge them again. Maybe He's going to heal somebody. They're not following Him to follow His teaching. They're there to see what they can see. They haven't made a commitment to Him. And Jesus knows that. That's why he draws a figurative line in the sand between what it means to be a fan and what it means to be a follower. When Jesus says that we're to hate everyone in our families and even ourselves, commentators will point out that Jesus is using hyperbole here to make a point. And that point that he's trying to make is this: you need to love me and the Father more than others, more than your own life. He's calling anyone who would be his follower to commit to following him and his teaching for the rest of their lives, to follow the will of God. And then he tells these would-be followers something that we probably all should think about at times when we're making a commitment. He goes, slow down, take a break. You need to understand what it means to be a follower. You need to count the cost of commitment. And then he uses those two examples that honestly everybody could understand. Before you decide to build a building, what do? You count the cost. Before you get in a fight with somebody, an argument with somebody, or go to war, what do? You count the cost. And then Jesus circles back by saying, so you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Eugene Peterson, the pastor who created the message version of Scripture, says it this way. Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. So, you know, I've had conversations with people over the years about what it means to be a follower of Christ. And we've sat down and we've talked about priorities. And we've talked about, you know, how do you do that? I said, well, look, God, meaning God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God first. then your family, then your church, then your work, and then everything else. And why do I say that? Because living your life for Jesus first and foremost will change how you show up in every other area of your life. If we are truly followers of Jesus and his teaching, then we will love and serve everyone in our family like Jesus does. You know what? Even the people in our families that are hard to love, we'll still serve them and love them like Jesus. If we are truly following Jesus, we'll be engaged in our faith by getting engaged in the body of Christ, in the church, in the ministry, and in relationships in the body of Christ. And if we're truly following Jesus, we'll realize that we're not working for a human boss. We're working for the Lord. So we should do whatever we do at work to the best of our ability, not because, we have some kind of idea that we want the boss to be the best, but it's because our ultimate boss is Jesus. And being committed to following Jesus will have that same effect in every other area of our lives. Committing our lives to following Jesus over everyone and everything will transform how we live everywhere, with everyone, and with everything. So where are we supposed to be headed as Christ followers? Where are we heading as a church made up of Christ followers? We're supposed to be headed into a deeper following of Jesus. And so over the past several months, we've been praying about where we should be heading as a congregation. And every year, we set goals to help us collectively as a church of Christ followers, but just as importantly, as individual Christ followers, so that we can be engaged in Christ's work and in his mission. And over these past months, the elders and Pastor Brian and I have prayerfully considered what we should be about for this next year. We shared those at our annual meeting this past week, and I'm actually going to turn it over to Pastor Brian now, and he's going to share the three goals and how we're going to seek to accomplish those this year.
Okay. You guys excited?
Yeah.
Should be. These are fun.
Before we move into the goals, we want to just recenter on what a vision is real quick. What is a vision? A vision is a dream of a reality that could be fueled by the belief that it should be. I'm going to say that again. A vision is a dream of a reality that could be fueled by the belief that it should be. We as followers of Jesus, as disciples of the King, have a vision. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of heaven. A place on earth where people act in ways that heaven does, the way Jesus does. Jesus believed that this vision of earth was not only something that should be, but could be. When he went around and telling people the message that Pastor Clark just shared, when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," he would say in other times as well, he would say, the kingdom of heaven is within your grasp. It is within your grasp to be a part of, meaning it's real, it's tangible. So when we talk about following Jesus and believing in him, it's more than just acknowledging and believing that Jesus did what he did and is who he is, but it's also believing in what Jesus believed could be for the world. We know Jesus died for us. We know Jesus has risen again and has defeated the power of death. That we know right now in all of assurance, with all assurance. It's looking ahead and saying, do we believe in what Jesus believed could happen here on earth? So when we talk about our goals as a church, before we start listing off all these goals, as followers of King, as disciples of the King, we need to remember that these are not wishful goals. These are not just things that would be nice if they could be, but that these are things that Jesus truly believed could happen, should happen, and then promised will happen. Amen. Our goals this year are bite-sized, specific elements of that kingdom life that we hope to focus on in coming years. Aspects of that kingdom life that we hope to bring about within our midst. So consider as we talk about these goals, how you can participate. How the kingdom life is within your grasp, and this is what it looks like within your church community. So here are our goals. Firstly and foremost, we aim this year to become a church that our community turns to in times of need. We aim to become a church that our community turns to in times of need. One of the clearest pictures of the early church found in Acts chapter 2 is a church that deeply cared for the needs of people. They gave their time. They gave their possessions. They opened their homes. They saw needs and met them. This early church was so radical in its care for people that it literally shaped the entire world's understanding of how to care for people when they're hurting. If you know anything about historians, literally the Christian church became the linchpin for how to care for people. It shaped the entire rest of how history went on from there. Historians point out how people used to come to the church to learn how to be more caring because they saw those people, followers of Jesus, and said, these people care for people like no one else ever has before. And so we as a church want to center around that aspect of the kingdom. Why us? We took a church survey not that long ago where we asked every single member of Valley Brook, every single person that calls Valley Brook home, what is important to you? What aspect of the kingdom do you feel most connected to? And did you know that every single age group, from the youngest to the very oldest, all centered around one thing, and it was to care for people who had been hurt by life circumstances? It means that this goal of the kingdom is within our grasp. That's right. So we want to center around this year. We want to take a step towards that so that as we move towards that destination, when we get to the end of this year, we can say we are one step closer to being a church that our community turns to in times of need. So this is our measurable goal this year. This is how we're going to do this. This year, we will increase our impact by delivering help and hope to at least 1,000 people in need through our care ministries this year. That's our measurable goal if you're a more measurable, smart goal kind of minded person. Across all of our ministries, the clothes closet, our care ministry, meal train, wood ministry, counseling and care, food donations, all of the different ministries, we are committed to helping 1,000 unique people who need food, care, clothing, visits, or support. We're not gonna stop if we reach 1,000. We wanna, that would be really weird, right? Hate to be the 1,001 person. You're like, ooh, sorry, we ran out. We're not gonna stop there. But we wanna look at the end of this year and say, we know we've helped at least 1,000 people. That's what we wanna do. And we know from what Jesus says in Scripture, that as we serve the least of these, people who need visits, food, clothing, care, a drink, a meal, anything, that we are serving the King and we are illuminating the kingdom in our area. Join us as we do this year. Be a part of our care and support ministries. Join us as we increase our impact to be a community that, and a church that people turn to in times of need. Secondly, we aim to ignite a prayer-driven evangelism movement here in our church community. You hear us talk about this all the time. We have a desire for our community to not only be cared for, but to know Jesus. We have a desire that each and every single heart, each and every single family and individual, whether child or adult, will meet the King personally, will engage with the heart of the kingdom. And in all of the research that we have done for how we can increase our efforts in that area, every single mode or method or wisdom, every single area has the same first step on how you get there. What do? You pray for others. And so we said, all right, we're going to double down on this. If we want to see that happen, we're going to start a prayer-driven movement. That is going to be our foundation this year. We are going to do this because Jesus calls us not just to pray for ourselves. As followers, we need to remember that. That Jesus calls for us to have our hearts reach out and yearn for those who don't know Jesus. To pray for those who have not yet encountered the kingdom. And to pray for those that we don't even get along with ourselves because they need them the most. I mean, we do too. When we do this, it gets our minds and our hearts off of just ourselves and onto other people. That's how we can do our job all the more. All the more filled with God's power and his joy. Our hope is that at the end of this year, we can say that we were constantly in prayer. And so we are hoping to begin a movement of prayer. Here's our measurable goal for this. It's to get to a point a year from now where at least 200 Valley Brookers are praying for their one person each week. Our hope is that by the end of this year that we can confidently say that over half of our church is in a daily or weekly rhythm of praying for someone other than themselves. We want to get to the point later that we can say, you know how many people are praying for our community? And we can celebrate on that number to say, look at how many people we're praying for, are mindful for. We're going to be talking about this all year. We're going to be calling it praying for your one, is looking for at least one person that you desire. That's your starting point. It's not limited to just one person, but it's at least looking for your one, asking who is your one? Do you have a one? We're going to ask you this right now. Think about just for a quick sec. Do you have someone in your life that you wish encountered the kingdom of God, that knew Jesus? You could probably picture them in your mind right now as I'm saying that. That's your one. Start with them. Start praying. And if you're here and you're saying, I don't know anybody, because there are people that have been so, you know, a part of the kingdom of God where everyone they know is already a part of this community. If you're wondering, well, I don't know anybody else, start praying and asking God. He promises, ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be answered. You'll find somebody. Start praying for your one. Lastly, we aim to inspire our entire congregation to change lives through generosity. We believe here at Valley Brook, specifically Valley Brook, I mean the church as a whole, but we here are a people that know the generosity of God. That is ingrained in who we are as a church. You're sitting in a building literally given to you by God. We did not buy this. We did not have this on our list. This was literally God saying, here you go. So go be generous. That's who we are. It's in our blood. It's in our identity. And so we know that we have all been uniquely gifted by God, young and old and rich and poor alike. And we believe in that vision of the early church. The kingdom of God was a group of people who believed so strongly that God had given to them many gifts and that they could change lives with them. That they could make a difference in their community with the things God has given them. Because of that, we're doubling down on this aspect of the kingdom. Because we have been so impacted by God's generosity, we want to impact others through what God has given us. Because it's not just for us. What God has given us does not only belong to us, but there are others who need it. And so this is not just about raising more money, and this is not just about increasing participation in our church programs. It is about inspiring more people to step into the act of changing lives. That is what we want to see. We care not only for the dollar amount of money or generosity given, but about the number of people actively participated in this mission. That's what we want to see. It's not a dollar amount, it is a people amount. And we're going to be doing this throughout the entire year in a way to get everybody in our church involved, from our children to our elders to everybody. And so we're going to do this so that way at the end of this year, we can go back and look at all of the lives that we have assisted, all of the people that have been touched by God's generosity, and we can get all of our kids in the room and everybody together, whether online or in the room, and say, every single one of us was a part of that. Every single one of us is a part of that. You know what that means? That becomes who we are. When people think, who is Valley Brook? Every single person in that church is a part of changing lives. That's our goal. That's what we want to see. Our measurable goal is we seek to mobilize at least 250 people to faithfully participate each month in generosity that advances kingdom work and meets real needs. You can begin in joining us in this. We're going to continue over the next couple weeks and months about encouraging people in different creative ways to get a part of this, because again, we want everybody to be able to participate. And so we're going to put these in ways where everyone can participate, because we want you to be a part of it. We want our kids to be a part of it. We want lives to be changed. This is the desired future we believe Jesus was talking about. These goals are snippets of that kingdom life that we hope in the next year to take a step towards. Meeting real needs, being a community that helps people, and a community that is bathed in prayer. That's who we want to be. Amen. This future, we believe Jesus believed should be and will be. Do you want to be a part of it? Because we believe Jesus, when he said it will be, we want to be able to say we were a part of it. We'll be bringing up these goals to you frequently, and we are excited about this going forward, and we want to share ownership. And we ask you guys, this is a staff habit of ours. We call it share ownership, where we do it together as a group. We are asking you to share ownership in these goals with us. This is not just what the staff and the elders are doing. This is what we are all owning together as a church. I'm going to invite Pastor Clark up.
Thank you, Brian. So this is exciting because, you know, what we're talking about here, on the one hand, it sounds like it's Valley Brook related, but on the other hand, it's not. These are Christian disciplines. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is first and foremost what this is about, because as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to care for people. As followers of Jesus, we're supposed to share the good news so that other people come to know him and believe in him and follow him. And as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be generous like he's generous. So this is so important that we understand this. So we're going to keep our eyes on doing this for his glory, for the kingdom. Because we're all, as followers of Jesus, part of the kingdom. We're kingdom people. And so as we go through this year, as Brian said, we'll continue to return to this. We'll keep you updated. But we want you to update us too and how it's going, because we want to hear from you, so we can share the good news about what God is doing in your lives and through your lives for his kingdom. I'm going to invite the worship team up, but you know, I want to say this. You know, I recognize that if you've never decided to follow Jesus, maybe this is all news to you. It's like, wow, you mean Jesus cares about everybody, even the people that maybe I struggle to care about? Yes, he does. You mean Jesus wants me to tell other people about him so that they can come to know him? Yes, he does. Think about it. Somebody in your life told you about him, and you believed and started following him. And yes, Jesus cares about the fact that we are generous because he's been generous to us. In fact, I believe this as a follower of Jesus. You know, whatever God has placed in my possession, in Cynthia and my possession, our possession, it's ultimately not ours. It's from God. And we can't take it with us when we pass away. It's all his. And so we want to leverage what we have for his kingdom purpose. And so if you've never become a follower of Jesus, now you begin to understand a little bit about what it means to follow him. And so as I close out this message with a prayer, I'm going to invite anybody that's never prayed to tell Jesus they believe in him and want to follow him to do so, whether you're in the room or online. And if you do, please let me or somebody else know. You can send us an email. You can, if you're in the room, you can tap that little circle on the back of your chair in front of you, and it'll take you to a place where you can have a fill it out and a connection card and let us know. And then I'm going to pray, after I've prayed that prayer, I'm going to pray for all of us that we would lean in to what God wants us to do in our commitment to following him and our Lord and Savior. So let's pray. Father, it's not lost on me that there's somebody here today who may say, wow, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And yes, that is. And if you have never told Jesus that you believe in him and want to follow him and you want to start following today, the best way is to tell him. So I'm going to just give you some words right now that you can put in your own words and pray them silently back to God. Here's the first phrase. Dear God, I do believe in Jesus. I believe that he came to earth to pay the price for my sins and that he was crucified to pay that price and he rose again from the dead. And I ask for forgiveness for my sins. And now I want to follow him for the rest of my life. And we'll say amen to that prayer, but now I'll pray for all of us. Father, you have called us to be your disciples, and the things that we've talked about here today are just things that disciples do, what Christ followers do. So help us lean in to being people who care for others in our community, whether they follow you or not. Help us lean into sharing the good news about Jesus that we've heard and that has changed our life with people. And as we think about that one person initially, Lord, just help us pray for them, and we look forward to them coming to faith. And then, Lord, I pray for all of us. You have blessed us with so much. Move us through the power of your Spirit to be generous and share with others for your kingdom's sake. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Valley Brook as we engage in this series. To learn more about the life of our church and how you can get involved, visit www.valleybrook.cc. If you're interested in contributing financially to Valley Brook and to our ministry, you can do so at valleybrook.cc/give. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message blesses you and encourages you to love God, love people, and change the world.